Praise you, Lord God. Now, Father, we pray the blessing of God on our speaker today. We ask you to bless Evelyn, Lord, with a touch of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God. And, Lord, anoint us to hear, Lord, what the words of God are for us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you. It's a joy and delight to be here. Wow, I just love your new building. You got so much going on here. Praise the Lord. Wow. The Lord is good, isn't he? All the time. Amen. Amen. Even when we're not always sure, we don't think so, or we have our doubts, just like our last soloist was sharing, but God is still there. And, you know, as we were worshiping, it was just coming to me, his presence in us. Oftentimes we think of, oh, Lord, your presence in the building, your presence here and there. His presence in us is really the secret. If he's present in us, he's going to be present in the building. He's going to be present wherever we are. We may not always feel him, touch him, see him, but he's still there. Why? How do I know that? Because the Word of God says he will never leave us or forsake us. So I'm going to rest in that promise. Amen? Woohoo. All right. Praise the Lord. Got me going already. We're getting started here. I'm Evelyn Drummond. I have a table here in the back. I'm an evangelist, missionary. I was born and raised Orthodox Jewish. And you say, what's a nice little Jewish girl like you doing in Calvary Church? Praise God. My parents did get saved. My father, at the age of 70, got saved and baptized the Holy Spirit. My mother got saved. Praise God. I was in my 20s when I was first saved. I had a hunger in my heart from the time I was little. We spent many, many hours in the synagogue reading the scriptures. But it was like I felt in my heart there was something missing. Any idea what that could be? Of course, it's Jesus. But he wasn't in me. Okay? You know, we're reading the scriptures, so he's around us. He's over here. He's over there. He's up there. God. But that personal relationship with God, I didn't have. And I knew in my heart there was something missing. And I began to search. And all my searching just fell down, you know, didn't go anywhere. And you leave it for a while and you go on, and as kids do. And I began to feel in my heart, I was maybe 8, 9 years old, I would always invite Christian friends, or Gentile friends, they weren't Christian, to come to the Passover Seder, Last Supper, that we would have. Some of them I even would get them into a synagogue service. And my mother, a blessed memory, would always say, why? They can come, of course. But why do you want to invite them? They don't understand what we're doing. You know, it was like we're Jews and they're Gentiles. And I said, this was in my heart. And I said, they have to know. And what am I doing now? And this is really what I'm doing now. And I thought, oh my gosh. And some of you, God may have given you a vision, a dream in your childhood. Something you were doing. And now you say, wow, I'm doing this now. Or I'm about to do it. So as I got older and that searching began. And it was at the Passover Seder. I was 14, 15 years old by this time. And as my father was reading all what Psalms 113 through 118. Those are called the high praise Psalms. Psalm 118. The stone that the builders rejected has become the headstone of the corner. And it was just like a sword that went through my heart. And I knew that I knew that I knew that that was referring to Jesus Christ. And I'm like, whoa, what do I do with this? You didn't dare tell anybody in those days. So, but see, God began to nurture that. I was in an evangelical college before I was saved. The dean told me, you know, you're going to be the only Jewish person here. You know, we have required Bible courses, both Old Testament and New Testament. You have to go to chapel 3 times a week. And I'm like, okay. You know, he probably looked at me, well, all right, you know, that's good. So the Word of God was being poured into me, not only Old Testament, but New Testament, before I was even saved. See, God was planting seeds, seeds. Finally, after I got out of undergraduate, I was studying the Bible. I was taking all the Bible courses I could take, along with pre-law. And my goal at that time was to be a lawyer. I was then in law school, and I was miserable. I knew law was not the answer. The answer was Jesus Christ. And like, how do I get there from here? But God is faithful. And one thing led to another. God was bringing Christians across my path. And finally, I knew that I knew that I knew that I had to make a decision. And what would that decision be? I literally asked myself that question. I could take this book and maybe tear it in half, three quarters. That sounds like a plan, right? You know, throw away the old, keep the new. No, that's not a plan at all. Because I knew what the old said about the new and what the new said about the old. I had to make that decision. Whatever cost, whatever price, there was no turning back. God had brought me so far. And I received the Lord. Soon after that, I received the baptism. And soon after that, God called me to the ministry, Assemblies of God minister. I travel. I speak in a lot of churches, different venues. I live in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Drove up here from Fort Wayne. Pastor was asking me. We'll head back later. And God birthed a ministry called Christ for Israel, meaning Israel, not only the land, but the people. Who gets saved? It's people, right? The land will be saved as the people are saved. Amen? God's plan, and he has over the years revealed to me his plans for Israel, the Hebrew people, and for all of you as Christians. Because you know what? I've got good news. When you receive Jesus Christ, when you invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart, just as I did, and I surrendered to him, I'm regrafted into the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. The Hebrew blessing over the cup that we just took is the blessing, you know, of the fruit of the vine. In other words, we're the fruit. He's the vine. We come into the vine together, Jew and Gentile together, as one new man. And this book of Ephesians tells us that. I'm not just making that up. So praise God. We're one in Jesus Christ. So all the promises, the Old Testament, the New Testament, belong to all of us. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Good deal. So God brought me along. The ministry is called Christ for Israel, of reaching the Jewish people with the gospel and sharing a little bit in our churches of our Hebraic roots and heritage and what that means for us today. You know, it's so important. So we have a link from the Old Testament to the New. We can't just throw away half the book. Some of us might think that. There may be some teaching on it today. But otherwise, it's religion. You know, I was privileged to teach in the Sunday school class. And, you know, we're moving along a line, a time period. And Pastor had asked me, or somebody had asked me, what the title of this message would be. And I said, what time is it? Not physically, but what time is it spiritually? What time is it in God's timing? That's where we're at. And you go, oh my gosh, didn't you see the news? I saw the news. I follow it. I get a lot of news on my cell phone, on my email, from all over. But you know what? As we sang this morning, and I was sitting here marveling how God puts together a service, our hope, our faith, we will not fear. We're going to trust in him. That solo was just so beautiful, so perfect. We're trusting in him. In him acts, we live and move and have our being. And oftentimes I will remind myself of that. Wow. So anyway, there's a table in the back here, and you're welcome to visit it. Sign up for my newsletter if you like. Take the materials. They're all free. Help yourself. There's a booklet there on praying for the Jewish people, how to pray. A lot of little hints, some history there of Israel. But so you're welcome to that. Praise the Lord. Let's look to the Lord for a minute, and I'll share the word here very quickly. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this time that we have come together. We thank you that you are in us and you are in our midst here, oh God. And Lord, I give to you the message. It's your message. And Lord, I thank you for what you want to do with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In the book of Exodus, Genesis, and then the book of Exodus that follows, at this point, the Hebrew people are in slavery in Egypt. Okay, we've just come through Passover, Resurrection Sunday, or some will call it Ascension Sunday. And Exodus 12:2 tells us, this month is the beginning of months to you. It will be the first month of the year. And what happens in this first month, it's like it sets the tone for the whole rest of the year. There's a what happens in the beginning of a month, in the beginning of a year? Well, we anticipate, we expect, there's forward movement. We start a journey. And you say, wait a minute, the calendar says January 1st. Yeah, I know. We have two calendars. We have the Gregorian calendar, that's January 1st. And then we have what's called the biblical calendar. Now, on the back table there, I have a few of the biblical calendars left because I'll be getting new ones starting again with September. The Hebrew year, actual year, begins in September in the seventh month. Okay, I'm confusing you. Don't want to do that. The Bible, there's a reason for it, because they keep two calendars, the civil and the religious. Because, okay, in the civil calendar, the beginning of months is Passover. Comes in April, most generally in April. And from that, the Passover, remember when Jesus went to the cross, he became the perfect sacrifice lamb. So he fulfilled that feast of the Passover. And I go, wow. We celebrate it as a memory, as a memorial today of looking at that. But not on the religious side. We have to separate the religious side from the biblical side, okay? We're not into religion, into Bible. Woo-hoo. Anyway, okay, so the one time God entered into history, every year they're bringing their lambs, beep, 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 you know, they're all marching there. Scripture tells us how many lambs they had to bring for sacrifice, but one year, God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, enters history. Jesus Christ becomes that perfect sacrifice lamb. Things happened that had never happened before. There was a temple, and you had to be outside, and only the priest could go into the Holy of Holies. And that veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Never happened before. God entered history. History was forever changed. Okay, now we go through this time period. God sends Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. They're in bondage. They're in slavery. So we come to the book of Exodus. It was prophesied in Genesis they were going to be enslaved for 400 years. They were whole new generations now. And that God sends Moses. And you can read the story. Exodus 12, the final plague there to lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt. Out of slavery. From slavery to free. What are we when we receive Jesus Christ? We're led out of slavery. We're free. Exactly. We are in freedom in the Spirit. So, Moses is appointed to do that. He leads the Hebrew people out. Now, Scripture tells us there was another feast after that. He's the first fruits, or I take that back. Jesus was the first fruits in Genesis 23, was the first fruits wave offering when he was in the ground and was raised on the third day. And he was that wave offering to the Lord. Now, Scripture tells us to count 50 days. 50 days, what? We just celebrated Pentecost. And the Hebrew calendar, it's called Shavuot. And this is the only feast that both the church and the Hebrew people celebrate together, but for different reasons. Okay, so here's Moses. He's leading the people out from Egypt. They're there. They were told a lot happened in that 50 days. Did you ever think about it? If we were to read from Exodus 13, okay, they came out Exodus 12. Exodus 13 through 18. Exodus 19, he meets the Hebrew people at Mount Sinai. God comes down. They didn't know from God before. They knew about Moses. Moses was their hero. And now God comes down to meet with his people in Exodus 19. But what happened in those 50 days? Moses, I'm hungry. Moses, I'm thirsty. Moses, and there he was even war. A lot happened in that 50 days. And then what happens? They come to Mount Sinai. God comes in and the thunders and the lightnings and so forth. What happens in the New Testament? 50 days later, the disciples were gathered together in the upper room. Why? They were celebrating Shavuot. They were all Jews. They were celebrating Shavuot. In Scripture, it said that they were told to wait for the power. In Acts chapter 2, when the power came. If we were to look back, I say that all as kind of setting up for right now. It's been 2,000 years. Hosea Let me go there a minute. Hosea chapter 6, I believe it's verse 2, tells us that it would be 2,000 years, then in the third year, here we go, 6 verse 2, after 2 days, he will revive us in the land the third day. He will raise us up, and we will live in his sight. Third day. When did Jesus come back? Third day. How long has it been since Jesus' crucifixion? You say 2,000 years. Plus, we know that a day is 1,000 years. There's other scripture that tells us that. So we are in this season of the third 1,000 years. It talks about revival. It's not an accident that you're in this building. It's gorgeous, by the way. I love it. This is my first time seeing it. Some of you know I was with you in the other building. Praise God. This is the third day. Time for revival. You say, well, why is the world in such tumult? Did you ever think that maybe God has to stir, allowed to be stirred, the unbelievers, so they will come to the place of crying out to God? They will come to the place of saying, Lord, I need you. What else is there? And you say, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I got to go through this too. Well, hang on. I got good news. Hang on. So, Let's put that on hold for a minute, and let's look at some dates, okay? We're talking about the season that we're in here right now very quickly. Scripture talks about the land. We go back to Genesis chapter 12. God promised. Genesis 15 said to Abraham, I give to you this land. You're going to go to the promised land. Many other scriptures, he talks about the land, his land. I give to you my land. In the book of Judges, he says, you know, each tribe, he lays out the boundaries for every tribe, his land. So what about it? You know, we go through the times with Israel, the times they're in the Holy Land. And, of course, for 2,000 years, Israel had always been in the land. This was God's land. They didn't, you know, anyway. So we come to around 1900. There began to be a stirring in Jewish people's hearts here in the United States that they needed to go over to the Holy Land area and begin to develop that land. They raised the money among themselves, went over there, began to develop the land. Of course, then we had World War I, 1914 to 1917. So what does that mean, 1917? What year are we in now? 2017. 2017 actually marks 100 years since the city of Beersheba in Israel was captured away from the Turks in World War I. Turkey, the Ottoman Turks, ruled over the Holy Land area for 400 years until 1917. So you can read that in the booklet there on Praying for Israel. And there was a small but strategic battle in 1917 that turned the tide of World War I that led to their defeat. And of course, as they ruled over the area from 1517 to 1917. That was the 400 years. Now, if we break that into 50 years each time, that's 8 jubilees. Great Britain then took the rule over, and Great Britain, that was a foundation for taking the area to the United Nations and saying, this has to be a nation. This modern state of Israel, as I would call it, then was born in 1948. How interesting. Through Great Britain's help. Let me go on with some other dates. 2017 marks 100 years since what was called the Balfour Declaration, which pledged Great Britain's support for the Jewish national homeland. And this was fulfillment of prophecy. And what is 50? Jubilee. What does that mean? It means restoration. Restoration to the original owners. Come back. We're going to see some things in a minute. Just hang with me here. 2017 marks 70 years since the United Nations Partition Plan on November 29th, 1947, that brought us to the birth of the State of Israel on May 14th, 1948. So we're at 70 years. If we go by the Hebrew calendar, the beginning of months in Passover time, we're at the 70 years. Are you with me? Now, hang on to that thought. Because we're not done yet. We're only starting here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, okay. So Hebrew people, of course, started to come back. That was the restoration, the completion, the return that starts. The Jubilee is also increase. It's fulfillment of God's promises. 2017 also marks 50 years from 1967. What happened then? God reunited Jerusalem to Israel. Before that time, they divided God's land. That was the fulfillment of Joel 3:2 that says they divided my land. Then in 1967, the Six-Day War, Jerusalem was now attached to Israel. Jubilee again, 50 years, reunification. I want to read something for you of this Jubilee. With the Jubilee, there was a rabbi. His name was Rabbi Goren, G-O-R-E-N. His name actually means threshing floor. When they got to the Temple Mount area, in Hebrew, that was called the threshing floor, before that temple was even built. And here was Rabbi Goren there at the end of the Six-Day War when they came to the temple. And as he stood there, he sounded the shofar at the Temple Mount on the day of restoration. He was born in 1917, himself 50 years old. Woo! 100 years, 70 years, 50 years. It's God telling us something. This is Jubilee. There's another story that I want to read for you. And the reason I'm reading this is because I want to get it exact. Of coming on to these 50 years, this 50-year season. I'm not finding it. Anyway, of 8 Jubilees. And another rabbi had said he had predicted 10 Jubilees until Messiah would come. I don't know. But I look at what's going on around us now. And I look at what we're seeing. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, what's the world going to be like before Jesus returns? We will see all of these things going on now. You can read it there in 2 Timothy. What's the world like? We go, oh my gosh, can it get any worse? Yes. We see that which is wrong being glorified to that being right in so many different areas, that the wrong is right and the right is wrong. You know, you can never be wrong because you're always right. Does that make sense, or no, it doesn't make sense. Okay, so what am I saying? We had a word, get ready. To be ready. For in the time that we don't think so, the Lord's going to come. I don't know the day or the hour. We talked in Sunday school about the fall feast. We have a period of time in the summer. And then we go into the fall feast. Jesus, and to me, Jesus can come at any time. Whenever he comes, it will be Rosh Hashanah. It will be the Feast of Trumpets. So how do we live? The biggest sign of the Lord's return, of the last days, really was the restoration of Israel in 1948. And now it's been 70 years. We know what the scripture says about 70 years. And now it's been 50 years to Jerusalem. And we had the books out on the blood moons, and we have something else with the moon coming up. I haven't scheduled it. I haven't read about it yet. But I was told about it. Signs, signs, signs. Saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. Well, first to get ready, we got to be saved. And you know, it was interesting that with Billy Graham one time, somebody asked him, if you knew this was going to be your last day on earth and Jesus was coming, what would you do different? He was scheduled to play golf. He said, I'd play golf. I wouldn't do anything different because he was so ready in his heart, ready physically, mentally, emotionally. Are we holding on to things so tight that we can't let go? Oh, wait a minute, Lord, you got to save this one. You got to save that. Okay, let's get praying for him. Let's get busy about it. I prayed 3 times a day for my parents, Orthodox, Jewish. My grandfather was a rabbi who taught in what would be the equivalent of our colleges, taught to be rabbis. Get ready. I prayed 3 times a day for them to be saved. And I prayed very special prayers to dealing with what I felt they were dealing with. And God came through. Give them to the Lord. Surrender them. We don't save them, right? It's the Lord. Amen. As we were worshiping here, I just saw, I had my eyes closed. Pastor told me I could sit, and I concentrate much more that way. And I could see all up and down here, angels dancing during the worship on the floor and on the platform. But they weren't just dancing. They were making figure eights. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I start doing that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, figure eight is new beginning. Eight is new beginning. You're in a new building. In another year, 2017. I know you were in here last year, but 2017. It's new beginnings. If not now, when? We had a very appropriate word this morning, tongue and interpretation. If not now, when can we get it together? Maybe we got to just spend some time with the Lord and say, Lord, I give to you my priorities. I give to you my plans. What are your plans? I give this day to you. Now you enter this day. You give me your plans. Wow. Maybe we just need to do some surrendering. It's harvest time, people. It's harvest time. And I just really sensed that and felt that. It's harvest time. And some of you may be led to speak the word, but carry God in your heart. Scripture tells us be ready when they ask you to give a reason, to give an answer. We don't have to go around beating people up. They will come to you. I have a school in Indianapolis. I live in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I have a school in Indianapolis. And it's just, God just brought this whole thing about. I had lunch with a lady. And she said, I have all these friends, and they have Jewish friends, and they don't know how to talk to them. I said, well, great. You know, we can work all that. And we have grown. We meet in this home, and we're talking about where to go next. And she has a big house. People who have their neighbors, their friends who are Jewish, and say, how do we talk to them? Can we plant a seed? We want to understand where they're coming from so we can talk to them. Praise God. It's God stirring in their hearts to be witnesses. And I believe God is stirring in your hearts. As you're out wherever you are, in the line, in the supermarket, be friendly. Talk to someone. Say hello. Wish them well. Offer to help them. Ooh. Now I'm getting to meddling, right? There's so many ways. See what God will do. You may not be the one who leads them to the Lord because you're a link in a chain. Or you may be the one to lead them to the Lord because of those who have gone before you. Either way, we share in that. Praise God. So as I am out, I have regular Friday night services there in Fort Wayne, Jewish and Gentile, as we come together to worship the Lord. And we have Bible, Torah studies. We call it Old Testament Bible studies. And, of course, the school in Indianapolis. So I'm asking you to help me this morning, to hold up my arms. Scripture says, I will bless those who bless my people. And we need your blessing. Because I was at a synagogue service a couple weeks ago for Shavuot, for Pentecost. And I don't know why I was there, but the Lord told me to go. So I went, and I took a Gentile friend of mine with me. And we're sitting there 2 hours of reading the scriptures, pouring in the scripture. And then, of course, they had food afterwards. And we're sitting at a table, and this couple comes up and sits with us. And we begin to talk. And the conversation led to the New Testament. And I said, okay, tell me, what do you feel about Jesus? Who do you think he is? She began to share. And then I asked the husband. He had a whole different comment. And I thought, praise the Lord. God is going to take what they said and use it and reuse it and bring other people in to take them to the next step. But that was a start. And I thought, praise God that we got to sit there and begin to share with them. People are hungry. They may not act it. They may not show it. They may not. You see all this going on in the world and the news and what we're bombarded with. And oh my gosh, every day. Think of all that happened, and I'll wrap this up here in a minute. Think of all that happened in those 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. What's happening now? This season is going on. June is going to be a very pivotal month in the nations, in alignment. It's important to know who you're aligned with. If you have friends who aren't going to church, get them in here. And I don't just mean that. I mean that because it's important to know who you are aligned with. And God may be repositioning some of you to get you into right position. And that's okay. That's what we want. We want to be in the right place to do the Lord's work. Because all that counts, all that matters, is doing his work. And see what's going to happen. And to you young people, God has such work for you to do. And if we're older, You know, we don't really retire. There's no such thing. You all have destiny. You all have purpose. Praise God for such a time as this. For such a time as this. I'm hoping we can kindle something here today. So maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you came to church today. You don't even know why you're here. Maybe you've come here often. Can you think back to a time that you have actually invited Jesus Christ into your heart? I was thinking in the last few days, I don't know, the Lord was burdening my heart with this, receiving Christ. We accept him. We accept apple pie. We accept motherhood. We accept a lot of things. But do we receive him into our heart? Have we truly invited him into our heart, receiving him, yielding to him, giving him our all, surrendering to him? Can you think back to a time? Do you remember when? And if not, as we sing this next song, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar because we want to pray with you. And then we're going to pray for all of us of rededicating our lives to him in this season now. This is such an important season, such an important time. And remembering God is in control, just like the testimony today. God was still in control, no matter what, no matter what's going on in the world. God is still in control. Do we have a responsibility? Yes, we have a responsibility to pray. Continue praying as we've never prayed before. To really intercede and pray for our president, our protection. Because Scripture tells us, it's not political. Scripture tells us to pray for those in authority over us. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122, peace be within her walls and within her palaces and within her gates. Because Jesus Christ is one day returning to Jerusalem. Now, as we go ahead, sing, I'm going to invite you to come. Maybe you've never received Christ before. You don't remember a time, but you've been here. Maybe you've been active even. But you say, I want this personal relationship. I want this personal relationship with Jesus. Will you come?